Hey guys, Mark from the GAK.co.uk Guitar Shop podcast here. Just dropped in at the beginning of the podcast to remind you all that if you want the inside scoop on any news or any deals that we've got going on at the shop, do follow us on Twitter at GAK_co_UK. You can also follow the podcast guys individually. You can follow me at Mark_random. You can follow Matt at Matt_nightsy. You can follow Jay at JAYBN1. And you can follow Joe at Joseph_900. Hello and welcome to the GAK.co.uk Guitar Shop podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, who is with me this evening.
Hello, my name's Matt and I do guitar things. I was trying not to say manager. One week we said, I'm not going to say manager, and then I was thinking all day for another job role. And I
have you been starting? Because I've not been here. Is it because normally I start, he points at me, yeah, but Packham, and then I start.
I think it's because you've been gone for such a long time, I've completely forgotten how the podcast works.
The format. See, because the way that we intonate these things is I say, hi, my name's Jay and I'm the assistant manager here at the guitar store, which leads you in to go, hi, my name's Matt and I'm the manager. But it doesn't really work if you go, hi, my name's Matt and I'm the manager, because then it kind of leaves me like, oh wait, do I need to introduce myself?
That's what we've been missing. So for the last few weeks, Matt has said, I'm the manager, but it sounds weird because you don't know what he's the manager of.
Right, okay, yes, because I say, because I'm the one who contextualises the fact that this is part of the guitar shop.
I mean, I do say the Guitar Shop podcast right at the beginning.
Yeah. All right, but I was saying that manager seems weird, and so does assistant manager, so we need to think of new, because Joe is bass-related queries.
Hi, my name's Jay Cross, and I'm the best one.
Joe's not allowed to manage anything.
No.
He can't even manage getting himself a decent haircut.
Where is he? I forgot to ask.
He was gone to a gig or some rubbish.
Oh, really? Okay.
Some awful band that he was talking about. I don't
know. Where is it?
A venue.
Oh, okay. Cool.
There'd be loads of young people there. I wouldn't understand it.
Why is he going?
Well, exactly. He's older. He's older than me.
I know.
And he's got such a bad haircut. It's terrible. Unbelievable. So, Jay Cross, you're with us finally.
Hello.
Back from the grand old US of A.
Yes.
How was it?
It was good. It was good fun.
What did you get up to?
I was mainly visiting my girlfriend in Philadelphia. That was cool. We went on a day trip to New York. And I went into one of the Rudy's stores there.
I don't know what that is. Is that a guitar shop?
Yeah, it's one of the big guitar shops.
Okay.
One of the only ones left, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think even the Sam Ash has moved out of Manhattan. So I went into, there's two Rudy's, and I went into one of them because we happened to be walking past.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to...
Don't lie, you saw it out.
Just have a quick look.
Check on the competition.
Just have a quick look. And I was like, I mean, I can't afford to get anything, so I'm not even going to ask. And we went in and there was this absolutely banging, double cut Les Paul Junior. And, I was like, oh man. And I thought I couldn't work it out. I thought it was probably a 61. And I was everything got the better of me. And I did ask, he was like, oh no, it's a 60. And I was like, oh, that's all right. Like the neck will be too thin. I wouldn't like it anyway. And he's like, it's a bit weird though, because it's got like this really chunky neck. And I was like, oh man, don't do this to me. But like, it was too much money. It was a lot of money. So
$10,000?
No, it wasn't quite. It was 7.5.
Okay.
So I mean, it's more than I... Definitely more than I can entertain paying, considering I'd just gone to the US. It was wicked though. It looked incredible.
Nice.
But I didn't want to waste their time by plugging it in, because I was definitely not going to buy it.
The primary reason you went there, apart from to get loved up and go to guitar shops, you went to a music festival, I believe.
I did. Yeah, I went to this festival in Gainesville, Florida, which is like a punk thing. And it was very good. It was really fun.
Not a peddling site.
You'd be surprised, actually. There was
plenty of tuners.
There was plenty of tuners. Quite a few Sans amps. Pretty much everyone was playing Les Pauls or Tellys.
Okay.
Although
standard.
I was surprised, actually. There was quite a lot of Strats. A lot more than... I've been to this place a couple of times, and it's weird. There was a lot more than there have been in the past. Usually, it is just Les Pauls and Tellys, like pretty much exclusively. A lot of those bands are just like mainly Les Pauls, actually, depending on what it is.
Just P-basses, though, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, 100% just P-basses.
Yeah. Just how it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. But actually, it was funny. Away from all of that, when I went up to Philadelphia, I went to this really weird hick bar to see my girlfriend's mum's band play.
Okay.
And the bassist for the first half of the set, the bassist was using some sort of Yamaha. I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
And then for the second half of the set, he was playing a Fender, and I was looking at it. I was like, wow, that looks wicked. Like, what is that? I think it might be. It can't be an original. I don't think it's. It looked like an amazing 60s. Amazing. I guessed it was just like it. I couldn't quite figure it out. From the sort of place that we were, I expected it was probably a road one. And then I went to spoke to him afterwards. He was like, "Oh no, the fella who owns the bar is a 62.
Really?
It's an original 62 that had just been so beaten up. It was so good. I mean, how much is that going to be worth?
I mean, it'd be 10 grand
probably. It looked so good and sounded incredible. Like as soon as they started doing the second half of the set, they sounded so much better. Like just
thank God Joe is not here.
I know. But it sounded incredible.
Yeah.
And it was just the fact that it was like a proper well-worn-in 50-year-old bass. You know, it was something that most of us will never get the opportunity to. Mm. You know, if only I'd bought that. But yeah, no, it was great. I did miss you. I can say that honestly because Joe's not here. Missed both of you.
That's always good to know.
No, I didn't at all. It was I had a great time. But there we go.
Mano, what have you been up to this week?
Playing guitar and thinking about my trip.
I was able to have a couple of days off because I was back.
Yeah. So, you know, I got some holiday.
You finally got a day off.
Matt Knight's day off. What did he do? Play guitar. Most of it.
Stole his dad's vintage Ferrari and drove for a parade.
Yep, I did that. And
paraded as the Sausage King of Chicago.
Yep.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Good. Let's leave it that way.
Okay. But yeah, I'm going to the Gibson Warehouse. I would have been to the Gibson Warehouse.
When people hear this, you'll be back.
I'll be back.
Tell us about your trip to the Gibson Warehouse.
I'm going to the Gibson Warehouse in or near Amsterdam.
Okay.
To pick out some guitars.
Nice.
Yeah. According to how it worked, when one of my other colleagues went to Nashville, not Jay,
not me,
Steph.
You know I've been to Nashville?
I did.
You do mention it quite a lot.
They apparently put like 100 guitars on stands, and then everyone that you want, you put your card behind, and then they go to each one, put a card in a hat, and then put it out. So hopefully I'll be able to pick out some nice
Les Paul Juniors.
Yeah, I mean everyone's going to want that relic'd
Silver Sparkle relic Les Paul Junior.
Is that what's up there?
No.
Oh God, that would be amazing. That would be incredible.
So it's unlike I know when Steph talks about when he went to the factory before, he got to pick some tops for guitars that hadn't been built
yet. They're not set up for that in Amsterdam
because the guitars are already made.
So it's kind of like, I think they're building some stuff. They've been planning this for a while and they've built some stuff specifically for this show.
Is it all custom shop stuff?
Yeah.
Is it? That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Very nice.
Get to meet the guys at Gibson who we talk to on the phone quite regularly.
Yeah.
We've never met before. And I get to go on the Gibson bus. Which would be great, the Gibson tour bus.
Yeah. I've not yet been on the Gibson bus. You two have both been on it.
No, they're going to pick us up from Amsterdam Airport and we're going to drive.
They pick you up from the airport?
Yeah,
wow,
yeah,
okay.
The bus.
I've not been on the European
the bus.
One. Your man drives a bus, he doesn't have a license.
It was called the bus that couldn't slow down.
I went on the bus in Nashville. I haven't been on the European bus. I had a sleep in one of the bunks.
Did you really?
I did.
And actually, was that when you were a bit hungover?
Yeah, it was. I missed like all the wicked stuff, but the bunk was well comfy.
You must be the only person, or one of the only people, that's had a sleep.
No. It was the proper like. The fellow who was driving it was like, yeah, I can't remember. The ins and outs, weirdly, I can't remember the ins and outs of it, but he was saying that he'd been like a driver for Gibson for like, he'd driven the Gibson bus for like a decade or something.
Oh, wow.
And he said he'd driven like everyone, he'd driven like Guns N' Roses. I don't know if it was all in that bus, but people do tour in that bus apparently.
Okay.
So, right. And I assume it's the sense. Same with the European one.
Yeah, I'm assuming they hire out to, like, they've Gibson have got what, Guitar Bar 90210, haven't they?
Something like that. Yeah, they've got like which a Hollywood is, which guitar
is just,
showroom,
which is just a guitar showroom with Gibsons, but you can't buy anything, and it's just for the artists.
Yeah, just swing by and play some Gibsons.
That's
nice.
The dream.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's some high end marketing there.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, has Jay missed anything while he's been away in terms of new stuff that's turned up?
I did mention around. The Korg Ibanez Chaos Pad.
Yeah, I saw
the
that.
RGKPC.
A bass as well.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, fun.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I've not plugged it in. I saw the guitar. The guitar is, I think, a lot better executed than I thought it would be.
Yep. In the pictures, it looks clumsy, doesn't it? But actually, yeah. When you see it, it's
absolutely.
Quite sleek.
And I think it's because I was expecting it to be like the car that Homer designs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. The bubble car. That's 2 weeks in a row we've talked about Homer's bubble car.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I know. I listen to.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course. Yeah, no, I expected it to look like the bubble car, but it actually looks really, really sleek and really good.
The good thing about those is that the back is stuck on, so obviously you have to take it in, pull it in half to put new batteries in.
Yeah.
In theory, the K-Oscillator does the same, it's the same enclosure, so if you wanted to, you could put the K-Oscillator in there and have drum beats.
Really?
And then, yeah, because you don't necessarily have to run it in line, you can just go out of the output.
Okay.
And it doesn't, because you can disengage or engage the chaos pad.
But actually, how is it? Is there another toggle switch?
There's a toggle switch that engages the chaos pad.
Yeah.
And when it's out, it just goes straight to the output jack.
Okay.
And there's a switch for the distortion circuit, which has got volume and tone.
That's pretty good.
It's got an inbuilt. And the distortion circuit actually sounds pretty good.
I was really impressed when I plugged it in. The distortion is actually all right.
Is that the same on the bass as well? Is there a distortion circuit?
I think
on the bass?
So. I've not tried or. Have I tried the bass?
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's just exactly
the
same.
But the chaos pad's just such a ridiculous deal at the moment.
Yeah,
I kind of want like three of them. I don't know why.
It's worth stressing that we talked about this last week or a couple of weeks ago. The chaos pad in the Ibanez guitars is the new chaos pad that's not even available to buy singularly yet.
Really?
Yeah, it's not one of the ones that.
It's not a KP2 Mini.
No.
Oh, right,
so the KP2 Mini, which is still a current product, but it's coming towards the end of
its
line. So it's been discontinued. I think we're doing them at £49.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The new one, I think, is going to be like over £100.
And it's in the
guitar. And it's in the guitar that's what, 329?
Okay. Yeah, 319. Okay.
So yeah, it's a chaos pad that you can't actually buy yet, except in that guitar. Mm.
Technically, also, worth pointing out, the Miku's may arrive at some point.
Really?
It's November, isn't it?
We're in November. Yeah, so. I was looking at that today, because I was looking at how many we'd sold, and they are, I think they're due this week at some point. So.
And not a guitar product, but I'm really, because obviously leading up to Christmas, I'm really into the Clip Hit from Korg.
I've literally no idea what that is.
It's a, so they had the Wave Drum Mini, I think, last year, mm-hmm. and the beginning of this year,
yep.
which basically had featured a clip that you clip onto anything.
Oh, so you like can use just like the bass drum.
And then as you move your foot, you use the bass drum.
Yeah.
This is basically four clips that clip onto anything, and then anything you hit, and then you set four percussion sounds, so you can put it on the table, and then everything on the table can be like a different drum.
That sounds all right.
I'm into it. I think the ultimate time-wasting tool for people who sit at a desk all day.
Does it have like a brain to it then that produces the sounds?
Yeah,
can you plug headphones straight in?
Yeah, I imagine so. Wow. Yeah, so you can plug headphones into the brain, and then four clips come out from the brain, plug into different things, and you can just.
So you could have a drum kit at your desk, basically.
Yeah.
How much is it?
I think they're like £129 or something like that.
That sounds fun.
£99.
I'm into that.
Oh, that's great.
Sounds good. So for the basically, Jay, the weeks that you've missed, we've had so many questions from the Facebook group that we've kind of just been doing that, and it's covered a wide enough range of topics. So I thought we'd do that again tonight.
Yeah, cool. Into it. I mean, I've been trying to keep up as best as I can. I've not always had internet, so I've been sort of chipping in with questions on the Facebook group here and there.
Do you know what? I think it's working all right, because people are putting up questions, other people in the group are sort of answering them, and then each week we
and then
kind
we
of cover
steal
the
answers
topics.
That,
yeah, I mean, we just basically say what they've said.
So we've sort of got to the point now where, you know, we've got enough adoring fans out there where we can just sort of sit back and take the credit for other people's work.
Well, we just let the money roll in, basically.
Well,
I mean,
there is many monies involved in this.
Is incredibly well paid, this podcast.
It's the fact that we charge so much for it, I think, is the...
I'm wearing a pair of pants made out of money right now.
Is that what that is? Is that rustling?
It is, yeah. It's because they're all £50 notes stapled together.
Yeah. <They're>... It's a staple made out of diamonds.
Yeah, it is a diamond staple.
How did you get the stapler?
That's actually made out of gold. It's a gold
staple. Gold doesn't... Okay, cool. Let's...
It's weird because I've got so much money that I know a gold stapler is more rubbish than the diamond staples, and they keep breaking, so I have to buy a new one for each staple to
each
staple
time.
My £50 note pants together.
It's podcast, man.
I know, it's money.
I've put mine into a savings account.
Oh, really? Wow.
No.
Prudent.
No, I've not done that. We don't make any money out of this.
I know, crazy.
It's good. But I tell you what is good.
The Facebook group.
Facebook group is good. And
life is good.
Yeah, everything's great. I'm gonna put this podcast out to long term podcast listener. This one goes out to Chris Wilson as an apology for the England fans definitely messing up Celtic Park in the Scotland England game, which is about to kick off after this podcast finishes.
Chris, you will already know the result by now. And if Scotland have won, then great for you. If England have won, great for us. So delete as applicable.
But whatever happens, we apologise on behalf of our nation for messing up Celtic Park.
Yeah.
What time does it kick off?
8 o'clock.
Sort of when we finish this, basically. Yeah.
So this podcast is going to be 43 minutes long.
Yeah, that's fine. Don't worry. Anyway, let's dive into the questions. If you want to submit a question to the podcast, please, the more questions, the better, so you hear less rubbish. Like the rubbish we've just talked.
No, this is the good bit.
Oh, this is the good bit. Yeah, I forgot.
We're done now, aren't we?
Yeah, you can go home.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I think everyone would appreciate it if you went home. I'm so happy to have you back. facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group is where you can submit the podcasts.
The podcast.
I mean, that's
the
what I do.
Podcast.
I submit the podcast to it, but you can submit the questions to it.
Which F key is it to upload podcasts?
You just press F1 and it goes straight up there.
Is that what it is?
It is.
Yeah, okay, right. I've always wondered.
Yeah, I'm glad you... Little behind the scenes.
Little does I know.
David says, I purchased a Charvel DS2 from you a month ago and it's great, but I've recently been trying the tone pots and they seem to have very little effect on the tone of the guitar. The only way I can hear any difference is to use headphones and turn the tone all the way off to all the way on. Even then, there's only a slight difference. My questions are as follows. Is it just the way it is with the DS2? Is it because of the active pickups? Is there any way to change it? New pickups or tone pots, perhaps? Just to be clear, I love the feel of the guitar and the sound, but I'm wondering whether the guitar is limited in tonal range. And is that something you get with more passive pickups and more expensive guitars?
How's he plugging it into headphones?
Well, I guess it's DS2 into something, into headphones.
Into DS2.
No, it's a Charvel.
DS2 into a Boss DS2.
Yeah.
Now, what he's done is he's got the output of a DS2, turned the gain all the way up, so there's just white noise, and then
plugged
it
into the DS2.
Just, yeah, I'm rocking out to this
noise. Yeah, so probably the guitar into an iPad app or something.
Okay. It's not, I would say, a fault in any way, but some cheaper guitars might have, slightly lower quality capacitors in tone control, which, you know, because all pots are the same, all four pots in the guitar do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the way that they're wired, it's the way the circuit's wired that makes a tone pot work like a tone pot. And sometimes, you know, you find on some Epiphones that you'll go from zero where it'll cut the tone all the way off and you'll just be left with a kind of, you know, no tone, muffled sort of tone to kind of almost nothing until you get to the top end and then you get a little bit of brightness. So there's not really much travel. It's not that there's... I suppose there's still the same amount of travel in the pot, it's just not giving you as much tonal range. So actually, if you want to change it, pots aren't really going to make much difference. Pickups will make a difference to the overall tone, but if you've still got the same capacitors in there, it'll probably still do the same thing. So upgrading the capacitor is the main thing to do if you really want to hear more out of the tone. Yep. We can get the bare knuckle ones. They're like a tenner each, but they're really worth it.
Okay.
I've put them in all my guitars and they've made a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
It's kind of like
all of them.
It's kind of like taking a blanket off your tone control. It's like suddenly you're like, my God, there's so much more range there. And actually having a
what are they called? Are they just bare knuckle capacitor?
Yeah,
okay.
Just bare knuckle capacitor. And actually, it's weird because tone control makes just as good versatile change as the volume control does. You know, yeah. especially when you're using a lot of gain, tone control can really change the dynamics of the way a distortion works.
Could it be the active pickups? Because for me, active pickups are quite mid-range heavy, and obviously changing the tone is not really affecting that mid-range very much. If you've got a prominent mid-range.
I was trying to think, actually, like with EMGs, because they come pre-wired. You never really see a capacitor on there, do you? I don't know if there's something just built into the circuit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the circuit itself that's doing
but if
that.
If it's got active pickups, obviously make sure you've changed the battery.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the first thing. I hate telling people this because it sounds so patronising, but like those batteries, they will run out quickly, especially if you leave the guitar plugged in.
Yeah.
You know, because as soon as the guitar's plugged, I mean, they're the same. It's the same as like a guitar pedal, right? If the guitar is plugged in, then the circuit's engaged.
Exactly.
And the battery's draining. Yeah. So if you accidentally left the guitar plugged in overnight or whatever, it's going to drain the battery. And the battery draining in active pickups can sound very different from guitar to guitar. Like it can sound like it can sound super distorted. It can sound not distorted at all, or it can, you know, it can affect it in different ways. And this is, I mean, certainly a way that
sometimes it will just do weird stuff.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah. The power's going to different areas or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he's put, you know, oh, is it something I'll get with more expensive guitars? And in a way, yes, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know.
But it's that difference when you're talking about parts, like you say, between Epiphone and Gibson, for example, or Squire and Fender, you know.
So Gibson are putting Bumblebee capacitors, you know, like vintage capacitors in their wiring. That makes a big difference to the kind of small little caps that they, you know, they probably buy in bulk that they put in Epiphone.
And I mean, you know, the pickups that are in these are, I think they are just called Desolation or something. I think they're like Charvel's own active pickups. And
they're,
you know,
they look like AMGs, but they're
they'll just be 8185 or 8160, probably 8160. I'd have thought. EMG copies. So I mean, if you want to, that's probably one of the first places I'd have a look at, you know, upgrading, because they're great. If you're into that sound, they're great pickups.
You could. I mean, if you wanted something, I think a little bit more dynamic as well, you could look at a passive option. You know, you could look at a set of Seymour Duncans or the Bare Knuckle stuff, because they're kind of naturally, I think they've got a wider tonal range depending on your playing and how they react with the volume control. So if you're looking, I think, for something more flexible, then maybe passive might be the way to go. If you want something that works great with like loads of distortion, then the actives.
How come? Here's one for you. So obviously with bass, like some of the Fender basses, you have got active or passive circuits, same pickups. Why don't you ever see it on guitars?
I think, I don't know. Maybe just it wouldn't sound very good. I don't know.
I just always thought maybe having an active tone control.
I think the difference there is that it's usually passive pickups with an active circuit that you can then bypass. So it's doing a very different thing. It's giving you more tonal options by essentially running the pickups through a preamp.
Yeah.
That's only what the Clapton TBX stuff is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas the guitar thing, you know, it's to get more oomph out of the pickups that are in there. So the pickups and the circuit are the active component rather than passive pickups, active circuit.
Yeah.
And that makes it on bass obviously easier to switch it off, because you just bypass the active circuit.
Yeah.
But that'd be cool to see on a guitar.
Yeah.
I guess, like you said, the Clapton.
And TVX would be the one, I suppose. Yeah.
That's kind of always on, though, isn't it? You can't switch it off.
You've obviously got the active tone control, which is notched in the middle for flat response.
Yeah.
Which is technically always on, but only activated when you plug the lead in. And then you've got the boost, which is obviously deactivated when you roll it all the way down.
Definitely. Okay. Edo says precision, even, or jazz, and why? Matt Knight, I can't judge what you're going to say.
I don't know what you're going to say either.
No, I don't know.
You've got to fight the other corner.
Thing is,
I feel like you've got to fight the other corner.
Thing is, you're the balance in this.
You've got to play the devil's advocate.
Realistically, like, I'm coming at it from a custom shop point of view, because obviously I do quite a lot of the custom shop with Krista. And the custom shop P basses that come in, like the simple ones, like the white blonde with the black scratch plate and the big neck, awesome. But then I kind of like the jazz basses because of all the awesome. They have the same tailpiece, that like massive metal spaceship that goes over the bridge.
It's cool. You're like the ashtray.
But is it
cover.
The same thing on the P basses on the jazz bass, or is it just on the jazz basses?
I think the jazz bass tends to be like Yeah, so the Jazz will generally have both, whereas the P would normally only have one over the pickup. I don't think it would have one over the bridge.
I think for me, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, realistically, if I try and fight the other corner, if it was me, I'd probably just have a P bass.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all four of us are going to say P bass, aren't we? Really?
No, Joe, I think, would say Jazz.
I don't think he would.
I think just to wind us up.
To nod us up, maybe. Yeah. But I think, I actually had a look at this earlier, and I think he did say Precision.
Okay.
In the group. In the Facebook group.
It's tough, but I mean, the thing is, if I was just going to play, like, heavy stuff or, you know, anything rocky, I'd have Precision. But if I was going to be a bass player, in the sense that I'm kind of doing loads of...
On his P-bass.
Oh, yeah, of course, he's got 50 P-bass. I'd have a Jazz, but I don't know. It's a tough one, because I'm not a massive bass player, but...
Jay Cross?
I mean, I just think the American Standard Precision bass is just wicked.
In white with a tall guard.
I just think they sound so good.
Yeah.
I think they sound really, really good. So, like, I mean, it kind of depends on what the sound is that you're looking to get out of it. I mean, the sound that I'm looking to get is a punchy, aggressive, trebly, you know, sort of, not lead, but like, you know, it cuts through. And for me, it's all about the P bass. But I understand why the Jazz bass is so popular. You know, they are far more tonally versatile.
Yeah.
I used to play jazz bass before I got my P bass. I the 70s Vin Mod Jazz,
which I even borrowed for a time.
You did, yeah. And when I first started playing bass, I had a Squire Precision. And that was great. It was cool. It was easy. It was, you know, whatever. And then I got the Vin Mod.
Was that my one?
No, it was Rory's one.
Which was my one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Yes, in that case, yes.
That was the bass that I bought when I forgot to take any basses on tour.
Oh, yeah. That's
another story for another time.
All right, I didn't realise it was that one.
That's a great story.
You turn up in Leicester.
Yeah, we went to Leicester and unpacked the van. And I was like, yeah, I've forgotten both my basses. is there a music shop nearby? Yeah.
Well, there we go.
And they didn't do me a deal. I was gutted. I told them the story and everything. And I said, you know, I work for a music shop and you know, I know the guys at Fender. Maybe you could sort me out. And they went, no, you're an idiot. And give us like £200 for an Affinity P-Bass or something. It was like RRP, just like no deal whatsoever.
Well, I had that for a while, and then the only thing is, if you're switching between the two, don't do what I did, which was I remember so vividly the first show I played with that Vin Mod. I was so happy with it. I hadn't even practiced with it. I played it in the shop, and I was like, yeah, this is wicked. I'm gonna buy it. I bought it the day of the gig. Took it straight to the gig, unpacked it, and just set it up against the amp.
Yep.
Totally forgetting that there's like the cutaway. Like, it's, you know, it's, you can't just like a P bass where it's flat, you can't just put it up against the amp and like walk off and do your stuff. So I put the jazz bass up against the amp, walked off, just heard this almighty like just the worst sound I've ever heard.
It's the clang, isn't it? It's the clang of a guitar falling over.
It was so bad. But of course, it was a Fender jazz bass. It was completely fine. Yeah. And unfortunately, I learned that day that I was like, cool, that means I can just throw it and it's fine. So I went through a phase with that band, like, because it was a punk band and stuff. At the end of the shows, I would just take it off and just throw it on the floor. It looked well cool and it's still fine.
I'm going to say P-Bass, unsurprisingly, mainly because I've had the same one since 2002.
Yeah.
And still plays. It's never been set up. It was set up once when it got refretted.
Yeah.
Never had to change the pickup. One of the machine heads broke, but I bought a screw and it was fixed. It just works. It 100% is, for me, the best designed musical instrument that's ever been put together. It just works every single time.
What year was the first P-Bass?
51. 51 is the...
So they launched it at the same time as the Teddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Jazz bass?
I think, if memory serves correctly, it was a product before the telly was, because the idea behind it was that it was to, you know, save double bass players having to take a double bass. It was the electric bass, essentially.
Yeah. Imagine that, inventing the electric bass.
Well, I mean, that's basically what he did.
It's, you know, bonkers, what? Isn't it? Invented what? The electric
basically.
Bass. Basically what he did. Yeah, as far as I can recall, the P bass is slightly...
So what year is the jazz bass?
60.
Yeah, six. There's, but there's
I think
50...
the first production was 61, wasn't it?
No, 59. So
there's examples from 59.
Oh, yeah, pretty serious. Yeah, yeah.
Because isn't the Herbie Flowers one 59 or 60 or something?
Yeah. 60 was the...
So the year that it sort of standardised with the three controls... was 62. Exactly.
But the first, no, 59.
It's 59.
I always had it in my head it was 1960.
I think it's 59.
Okay.
But then again, you know, it's not so cut and dried because...
No, of course not.
There wasn't, you know, it's not like today where they invent something, they build it, they put out a press release, they do trade shows. It, back then it was, oh, we've done this other design. Should we... Oh, yeah, we'll sell it to a customer or sell it to a shop or whatever. Fine. Oh, those ones did all right. Should we make that proper model? Yeah, great, brilliant. All right, let's put it out. You know, it's, like, totally different.
Yeah. It's so weird, though, to think about it in from that point of view. You know, you think about, like, we say nowadays, like, oh, you know, especially in the last couple of years, you know, oh, Fender, like... Look at all this cool stuff they're bringing out. You know, there's these Cabernetas, there's these Bass Sixes, there's this, there's that. You know, if you were like around and playing guitar and like clued up on it in the late 50s, early 60s, you know, you were there for the Les Paul coming out.
Yeah.
The Les Paul being discontinued.
I mean, that's early 50s, but yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. Okay, well, like, take the whole spectrum. You know, say that 10 years, 50 to 62, say. You've got the Les Paul, the Tele, the Strat, and the P-Bass all that being invented.
Yeah.
Then the Les Paul being discontinued, the SG being invented, then the Jaguar being invented, the Jazzmaster being invented, the Jazz Bass being invented, like the Mustang being discontinued. It's like there's so much stuff was happening.
Yeah. It's funny, really.
And there's, like, I realise I sound like a broken record, but I still, it's incredible that so little has changed on those things.
There's
that
a great
we're still doing it now.
There's a great book which I read a long time ago, and I'll probably be getting the details wrong, but I think it's called 17 Watts. And it's the story of the valve guitar amplifier, basically. And it's called 17 Watts because someone bought out, and I forget which company, someone bought a 17 watt amp, and it like caused a massive uproar. Like all of these groups, like parents groups and stuff like that, were like, it's too loud. It's going to kill people. It's going to like destroy their hearing. It's like 17 watts, all valve. And you think... They've basically gone from, you know, tiny little 5 watts or things, and like 17 watts was this massive.
But what
thing.
Year was that then? That must
well,
have been.
I mean,
like,
that was like mid to mid late 50s, something like that. Maybe when, even earlier. I can't remember.
It must have been earlier, because when did the. Because the AC30 was late 40s, wasn't it?
Wasn't the Champ like 49, wasn't it? I think.
Okay.
Like that. So yeah,
maybe.
Probably,
when did the AC30 come out though? Because that obviously that was 30 watts.
Yeah, no, I think that's quite a bit later. I don't think
is
that's until you start to
really?
Get to the early 60s. I think is when you start to get that, because that kind of coincides with the Beatles and stuff.
But I thought Hank Marvin was using one even as early as like mid to early 50s.
No, Hank. I mean the Shadow stuff isn't quite that early. I don't think. I think it's like late 50s.
Oh, okay.
There's definitely some listeners who are going to correct all this nonsense that we're saying.
But
dig out that book. I really want to dig it out again. 17 watts.
What's funny though is you think, 59 Les Paul, and then you think, 57, 58. You know, that's not only, you know, it sounds ridiculous saying it's a long time ago, but no one really played them until they were gone. Like, they didn't become famous as you know them until like the 60s. And you think, like, how old that guitar actually is.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's crazy, really.
So to sum up, we're saying P-Bass, right?
P-Bass.
That's the question.
I think that was, 58 AC30.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I knew it was kind of late 50s.
And that's my answer to the question. What year was the Vox AC30?
Yeah. Great. Brilliant.
Yeah, thanks for your question. You know, the Vox AC30 came out in 1958.
Brilliant. I will stand up for the jazz quickly by saying, if you are someone who needs more, like Matt said, if you want more versatile, then maybe the jazz. Mm. With the jazz, the sound, you can mould the sound around what you're doing.
Yeah.
With the P bass, the sound around you sort of has to mould around what
yeah.
you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
very much the yeah. the difference. And yeah. also your playing style as well. With P bass, you can kind of just like, you just like hit play it. It. Just hit it really hard and it sounds good.
But the jazz bass, you've kind of got to get it though.
Yeah, give it a little tickle. Right, next question. Kevin says, can anyone recommend a good quality but affordable small bodied acoustic? Looking for a good volume level for fingerstyle. I like the vibe of the Gretsch Jim Dandies, but have not had a chance to try one out yet. Would need to fit a standard size sound hole pickup.
That's a tough one because I don't spend a huge amount of time in acoustics. However, the Jim Dandies are amazing. But actually, what I like, and I think they're a smaller body, the Ranchers, the ones that came in the big cardboard boxes with the clear fronted.
They yeah, were plastic. Called the.
But they were. That's just the Jim Dandy, isn't
like
it?
The the sunset something. And
can
the,
we still get those though?
Yeah, I think so. Can we still get those? Actually, we might not be able to.
No, I think the Jim Dandies have replaced it. Yeah, the Jim Dandy is a really nice guitar.
Because like, I was going to say, well, you know, GS Mini or something like that, but it's not really like a parlor, like a tiny parlor guitar, like the Jim Dandies.
It's
are.
Small though. It's definitely small. I mean, I've got a GS Mini literally over there.
Yeah, but it's not as small as... I mean, that's... Because you could, if you wanted a small acoustic, then I would say buy a GS Mini because yeah. I think they are the best small acoustics you can
100%.
Buy. 100%. Get one of those and get a Taylor ES Go pickup for it. It's directly designed to fit in it and for £600, you've got an incredible guitar.
Yeah, I think
however, if you're looking at Jim Dandies, you're not looking to spend more than probably a couple of £100.
Yeah, it definitely depends on your budget. I mean, if you... are spending a couple £100, yeah, the Jim Dandy probably is your best bet.
I really like the Little Martin. The Little Martin and the
isn't there a little
Taylor Baby?
Yeah, but then they're a bit more money, aren't they? They jump
Taylor
up.
Taylor Babies are about £200 quid, I think.
Okay.
What about the... don't Washburn do one?
The Rover.
Yeah, but then I suppose that's more of a travel guitar,
yeah.
isn't it?
I think if you... So, the two budgets, if you want to spend £200, get the Jim Dandy, because... it looks cool. It's got a good sound to it. It's really sort of vibey little acoustic. Real sort of
it's
like.
It's just dandy.
It's just dandy. Yeah. if you can spend more, then I mean, GS Mini every single time.
Yeah. I mean, the new Kawa ones that are limited are just. Hot
they've got the pickup built in as well, haven't they? They're on their GS Mini E, yeah. which is the pickup.
That's so good.
Taylor Babies 251.
Okay.
I really want to justify another acoustic, but I'm just not getting the most out of my one at the moment.
Yeah. I feel quite bad really because that GS Mini that's sat over there. Never gets played because when I come home I pick up the Les Paul Junior or sometimes the Aria but mainly at the moment I'm loving the Junior.
That's what I'm struggling with at the moment is coming up with a good calendar for when what guitars I should play and when so they all get used.
I know and I need to restring the GS Mini, I need to restring the Aria, but you know, I can just sit on the sofa, get the Les Paul Junior out, and it's
the problem at the moment. I'm all about my Japanese Strat. I just don't want to play anything else.
What Japanese Strat?
My Paisley.
Oh yeah, of course. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I was there when he bought it.
Wicked. Nice. So yeah, that's the answer for £200: Jim Dandy or a Baby Taylor, or get a GS Mini, which is what I'd recommend. Bit more money. Gary says, can you recommend a boost pedal? Now I'm pretty sure we're all going to have differing opinions on this. Jay Cross, what would you say if someone just asked for a boost pedal?
I realise you've set this up to be a succinct answer and I don't think it is.
No, not really. I want to know your thoughts, okay. Really. So if someone walks in and says, I need a boost pedal, what would you give them? What would you ask them?
The first two pedals I'd sit down in front of would be a MXR Microamp and a Pictronics Class A Boost.
Okay.
Just because I think they're both absolutely banging. There's not a huge amount of difference in the price. I can't remember. I'd probably go Class A Boost. It's one of those things where it's just like, it's just a good. I mean, with all these things, it's a good control, which again is just sort of volumes.
Yeah.
Just turn everything up.
Turn up.
But yeah,
good.
I mean, it's difficult because there's so many good things out there. There's the Microamp. There's the Class A Boost. There's the
Microamp Plus.
The Microamp Plus is kind of what I meant actually. That one. The Echo Plex is another one that just sounds like
Spark
just,
Booster.
The Spark
full
TC
size
Bar
and
Booster.
Mini.
Personally, I'd probably go Class A Boost. I just think they sound absolutely wicked.
My first question would be, and there's always been on this, do you want to be louder or do you want to be boostier?
More gooder.
More gooder, yeah. If you want to be more gooder, for me, I think you can't beat the Jim Dunlop Echoplex preamp.
Yeah.
It just makes you sound more gooder.
Yeah.
Or, the Pigtronics is nice as well, but it does it in a different way. I think that does more sparkle, whereas the Echoplex gives you more, just more gooder.
Just more good, yeah.
If you want to be louder, then I still think you can't beat the Boss G7.
Yeah, and
Graphic EQ.
Absolutely. Mm.
Because it allows you to boost 7 frequencies or cut 7 frequencies by up to 15 dB, or it's just got an overall volume boost.
I plugged one in the other day and was like, I really should get one.
The thing about the G7, you could, in theory, have it the last thing in your chain, couldn't you? And use it as a post-effects pedal boost.
I think if I had one, I'd run it in the effects loop.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other option, is run it before the power amp. Mm-hmm. And then it would literally just be louder into the power amp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's an option. But, that's really the question. Do you want to be louder or more gooder? If you want to be more gooder...
There's so many out there. It's just the thing at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Spark Boost, that's the other thing. I think we're still running a deal where if you buy 2 TC pedals, you get a free Spark Booster.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Something like that, or 2 TC drives. Either have a look on the site or drop us an email. Mm. I think you can get a free Spark Boost if you buy other pedals.
Yeah.
But, those are your options. And also, check back on our other podcasts, because I think we've done whole episodes on boost pedals. Ollie says, what's your opinion of the Squire Cabernet Atelli? Matt, you demoed them, I think, for the site.
I did. I'm really into them. In fact, if I hadn't modded my Telly to be like the one that they then released after I modded it, I would have bought one. I think 264 for the Cabernet with the Bigsby.
Yeah.
I mean,
a B5 Bigsby is 120 quid.
I mean, for me alone, that is just... bargain in a guitar, realistically. I mean, the amount of guitar and cool guitar you get for the money is ridiculous. If I really wasn't doubling up on what I've already got, I would have bought one, because I just think they're just brilliant, really.
Am I right in thinking that the Bigsby one is single coil and then Gretsch humbucker?
And then the normal non-Bigsby one is 2 Fidelitron style pickups.
Fidelitrons,
yeah.
So I guess what we're saying is... I mean, is the 2 Fidelitrons a bit more kind of rocky? I guess you've got a humbucker in the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's still got Telly twang, but it's got more oomph behind it.
Yeah.
And to be honest, for 228 quid,
so I'd get
both. I would say if you wanted to just buy, if you've got less 300 quid to spend and you want to buy a different guitar, buy a Cabernet.
Yeah. With Bigsby.
Yeah. It depends what you're doing. I think if you're doing some more rocky stuff, don't get the one with Bigsby. If you maybe want something a bit different, get the one with Bigsby.
Also, if you can spend the extra money, the Fender thin line one, I think is just absolutely brilliant.
If we're talking about thin lines, and the reason I bring this up, because I played it in the shop the other day, the Classic Vibe thin line.
Oh my word!
Yeah,
the 72 style one.
You would struggle. I mean, I can feel it, but I haven't plugged it in, so I don't know the sound difference. But in terms of playability and build quality, that versus the Mexican one. There's not much in it.
No.
And apart from 500 quid.
Yeah.
I would imagine that the pickups in the Mexican one sound a lot better. And the feel is a bit nicer. But the Squire one for
291, 310, I think.
310
they are.
Is unbelievable. That's probably, and you'll have to remind me when we finish, I need to add that to my gear of the year.
Yeah.
Because we're doing a most surprising category. I think that might has a good chance of winning that. Because you think... you know, hollow body sort of Classic Vibe's going to feel, you know, like a Squire, and we've raved about how good they are, but there's definitely a difference between that and Mexican guitar.
Do you remember when I first started, we had that, I think Squire have done thin lines really well for a long time. Do you remember that when I first started, there was that, they still do it.
The vintage modified thin line
in the sort of walnut natural.
Yeah.
And I used to pick that up all the time.
No, that one's a Classic Vibe. The vintage modified is the black or the Shoreline
gold.
Yeah,
okay, no, yeah, you're right. No, it was the Classic Vibe, and they still do it, the Classic Vibe 50s.
No, it's a 60.
No, it's 50s, because it's maple.
No, but they didn't. It's a 69 thin line or a 72 thin line. That's your differences.
No, because this was something... I'll look it up. I can't remember. But I think Squire have done thin lines really well for a really long time.
Yeah, but that 72 one is unbelievable.
It's so good. It's not branded as a 72. It's just a thin
classic
line.
Classic vibe thin line. Yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah, great.
Anyway, so Tom says, anyone tried these new Ernie Ball M Steel strings yet? Are they as good as they say, and do they make your guitar output louder? Matt Knight.
I haven't actually, I'll be honest, I haven't given them a go, but I have sold them to a couple of guys that I know who are regular players, and I think opinions are divided.
Okay.
I think sometimes it can be really difficult because you can't A-B strings.
Yep.
Realistically, at the end of the day, you can't.
You can. It's the fifth and the second.
Hey,
very good, sharp and on point.
But do you know what? I've always found the hardest thing with strings is actually just giving them a go.
Because
you're so. I mean, I don't mind changing strings, but half time, like if I restring it for another set, and I'm like, yeah, these sound good. If they really blow me away, like the balanced tensions did, that's a different matter.
Yeah, but, you're straight in. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then you just want to go. Ugh. I might just put the other set back on and then you just change the set of strings. And basically, effectively, I'm assuming the reason they're supposed to be louder is because they're steel ball end, right? And then I think the metal they're made of is a slightly higher composite in terms of steel, so they're supposed to be more magnetic, so they pick up more volume from the
picker. They've got, as far as I'm aware, I was speaking to the chaps who distribute Ernie Ball, they've got more cobalt in them than the cobalt Ernie Balls.
Okay.
As far as I'm aware.
Yeah, well, because the cobalt strings, because it's all to do with the composite of the actual chemical makeup of the strings. So normal strings are a nickel tin composite, and I can't remember the exact ratios, but it's something like, it is something like 80-20 nickel to tin, I think. And then the cobalt strings are something along the lines of 80-19-1. The one being cobalt, which is the same as the Fossa bronze strings, which are they've got like a 1% phosphor composite, which probably sounds better to begin with, but phosphor like goes off or decays, I guess. I think it's got a short half life. I can't remember not half life. That's
nuclear.
Yeah, it's something to do with the way that the phosphor decays.
So. From my understanding with acoustic strings is that regular bronze, like 80-20
bronze, yeah.
They don't start as bright and they don't start as good, but they last longer.
Yeah.
But the phosphors start better, but they don't
sound
as good for a long
time. That's always been my understanding of it.
Yeah.
I think it's relatively similar to the cobalt strings. I don't know. I've not experienced it. I like Matt, I tried the balanced tension 11, the Dario balanced tension 11s, and was all over them.
Yeah.
But I still find myself going back to the coated slinkies, the Ernie Ball coated power slinkies. I think are great. I think they're worth the extra money. I think they're really, really good strings. I've been meaning to try the M series, the M Steel. But every time I go to buy a set of strings, I go, oh, there is those ones. Or I know I like the coated ones.
Yeah. That's my problem.
It's so fickle, so fickle.
Regular slinkies for me every time, and I really want to try the M Steels, but again, like you, I've not had to restring a guitar, and actually that Aria needs to be restrung, so I'm going to stick some M Steels on and we'll come back with a better review. But we've heard some good stuff.
I've heard some good stuff, and I've heard some, I don't think, I've not heard bad stuff. I've heard some
It's difficult, isn't it, because like inherently if you're putting new strings on your guitar, it's because your old strings are sounding duff and crap.
So it's hard to know. Like,
absolutely. So if you're going to go like, oh yeah, cool, right, I'm going to take these strings off and then put the new ones on, it's like,
and you can't AB with another guitar because they'll just inherently sound completely different.
So, yeah,
very difficult. But yeah, we'll certainly get back to you with a better review.
The other ones, I really want to try the Dario, the MYXLs, which I've not got around to trying. Did you see about those?
Yeah, I tried those.
Did
I wasn't a fan, yeah.
Really? I got the impression they were kind of like a bit flat woundy.
Yeah, that's sort of what they've gone for,
makeup,
isn't it?
But like in terms of like tonality, I thought
they're pretty much unbreakable though. So if you break a lot of strings, go for those.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? That's what we've come back to, is that it's about getting the right set of strings for you. It's hard to say whether one set or the other is better or not. It's more what works for you. And for me, regular slinkies. For Jay, like you say, you know, the coated powers. For you, I mean, balanced tension or, you know, whatever you go for. So yeah, we'll, like I said, we'll come back with a better review once we've tried them. Gary says, does anyone know of good cheap guitar signal splitter pedal where I can go clean to one amp and off my pedal board to another amp?
Yeah, I mean, all he's doing is using
an AB.
He's using an ABY at the front rather than at the end. So in AB and then AB to one, AB to another, but one of them happens to go through a pedal board. So for me at the moment, in terms of value for money, Electro-Harmonic Switchblade Plus.
They're like 20 quid or something.
29 quid. That's ridiculous. Might be less than that. Might be 22 quid. I mean, to be honest.
How do you make something in America that you can then ship over to the UK and then us still make a bit of money? You know, no, like,
it's bonkers, isn't it? I mean, the circuit,
how, like, how do they make it so cheap?
But the thing is they come in a really solid die cast metal case and not in a cheap case. They're in something solid.
I mean, there's other cheap options as well, something like the ART Cool Switch. What, not they, as cheap,
not, yeah, but it's just not as cheap as the Switchblade.
No,
and the Switchblade got a much smaller footprint, so perfect for real estate.
I keep hearing about the Fender ABY.
I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, the only problem I've got with it, it's a good solid box, good solid unit, it's just too big.
Right.
So I think for me, ABY, you want to keep it.
Go for the Electro-Harmonics.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, I hope that does what Gary's after. It seems like it from his question.
Yeah, I think so.
Put it in the front end, send one signal one way, send the other one to the pedal board. So, David says, quick question about valves. I acquired a used Marshall combo about 8 years ago. I've never retubed. How will I know if it needs new tubes? Do they simply work 100% perfectly until they fail, or will I expect gradual degradation? If so, how will I know?
They do simply just work. Not perfectly, but they will continue working until they fail.
Yes. So it's a gradual degradation.
It is,
basically.
And I think the thing is, actually, you might never need to change the valves. You might find if you put a new set of valves in your guitar, once again, it comes down to that thing of you can't A-B, well, you can A-B valves, slightly more easy than you can A-B strings, but it's still a lot of hassle.
Yeah.
I think the thing is that you'll find that unless you're finding it sounding different, then just leave it.
But I guess if you've had it 8 years, you're probably not going to know.
Yeah, I suppose, I mean, I would say for me, if you've had it 8 years, how much have you used it?
Yeah.
How much have you turned it up? Do you think you've probably got? I mean, the thing is, realistically, I don't really gig. So for me, changing strings, I sort of go, well, I've probably had those strings on there a couple months now, probably change them out.
Yeah.
And you know, you're just gonna feel much nicer, you know. But if you use them all the time, you go, well, yeah, definitely I need to change them. Is it the same with the valve amp? Have you used it so much you think, yeah, it's definitely time for revalving? Or have I used it enough but not as much as I'd need to change the valves?
Do you know what I'd say? Treat yourself nice. Get some new valves. You've got yourself a Marshall combo. It's not that much to revalve it.
And I think they're... I don't know if they're auto-biased. I don't know if you can just stick valves in those and away it goes. I'm not.
It depends 100%. On the combo,
it depends which one it is. Yeah. But you did it with your Blues Junior, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, actually.
And you bought some from Watford Valves, and you said it sounded way better.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that if you want to make a difference, I think sometimes you have to go for better valves.
Yeah,
I think
of course.
The thing is
out there
is you can buy cheaper Chinese valves. And you can buy some fancy valves that are probably way more money than they should be. But if you're going to do it, then I would say spend the money and get something. Don't go overboard, but get something better than the cheapest valves you can buy.
Yeah.
One last question. I'm going to mark this up as homework, really, because I think the answer is that we don't know the answer. Adam says, has anyone here spent any time with the Boogie cab clone? I really want to buy one, but they do a 4, 8 and 16 ohm version. Now, both my heads are 8 ohm, but if I buy the 16 ohm version and want to record with an 8 ohm head with it, will it still work?
The first question to that, because I did actually sponsor this, is I haven't spent any time with it because everyone that's come in has sold straight away.
Okay, fine.
So I don't think we've had one in stock long enough to actually plug one in. However, I'm friends with, I don't know if you are on Facebook, Peter Honore, the West Side
guy.
He's taken one on tour and he was just saying it's just the best product he's ever owned.
Let me get it straight. It's a dummy load with cab emulation.
And an attenuator.
Okay, so you can send an emulated signal out to the PA.
Yeah, or to or straight into an interface for recording.
And also hear signal through your cab.
That's correct. Yeah, so unaffected signal through the cab, emulated through the DIL.
So it's kind of like the old THD hot plates, but with cab emulation.
Yeah. Just and slightly better, less tonal change to your guitar
cheaper
signal.
I think as well, aren't they?
Cheaper,
lighter,
and
smaller,
and the THDs
better,
weren't
faster.
The THDs weren't a load box, you still had to plug them into a cab, I think.
Oh, okay, so you could just literally you could take the cab out of the equation
plug into a cab. You just, literally you can, it's like the red box in the Hughes and Kettner, you could just never plug into a cab and away you go.
But it does the attenuation, which the red box won't.
I would say that if he's put now both heads at 8 ohms, but if I buy the 69 version, want to record an 8 ohm head, will it still work? Yes.
Well, I don't know.
But I would say there's probably no point if you've got through 8 ohm heads.
I'd also say if you're running it as a dummy load,
you want to make sure you get the right one properly.
Yeah. I don't actually know what they say about that. Worth mentioning, though, cab clones, you can't plug 100-watt head into it.
Really?
Yes. I think there's something in the manual. I will double check.
Weird.
They max out at 100 watts. So they recommend that you don't plug 100-watt head in and turn it all the way up.
Okay.
I think because they max out at 100 watts. That seems very weird
that Boogie would do that, considering they still have a few heads that are 100 watts plus.
Well, I guess what they're saying is that it will work with a 100-watt head, but do not turn it all the way up.
Won't work with a triple rec, though, will it?
Mm. It will, because you switch triple rec down to 50, 100, and 150.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah. So there we go, Adam. Probably not the fullest answer, but we'll try and spend some time with one this week and work out what we're doing and get back to you next week. Thanks for all the questions this week. If you want to get involved, please do send them over to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group. You can also follow the official GAK page, facebook.com/GAK music, or follow us on Twitter @GAK_co_UK, or if you want to see some terrible pictures that Joe Branton has taken, Instagram.com/GAK music as one thing, I think. No, it's GAK_music.
Or just search Gaxtagram.
I think, yeah, Gaxtagram is the hashtag that he will often use.
Yeah.
Or I think if you search Guitars of Instagram, you'll probably find us as well. Or you can follow us individually. Best way to get me is Mark_random on Twitter. Matt Knight, how can people get in touch with you?
You can email me, matt.knight@gak.co.uk, for all sort of questions. Podcast group at the moment is probably the best way. I've been less active on the Twitter. I should get back on that, but you can always add me, Matt_Knight, so that's Knight with SIE on the end. But the Facebook group is generally one of the best places.
Rocking. It's unbelievable. It's a hotbed of sweet guitar action at the moment.
Yes.
Jake Cross, how can people find you?
You can shoot me an email at j.cross@gak.co.uk, or my Twitter handle is jaybm1. Share with me your stories of your being bullied by other people who work at where you work, prematurely putting up Christmas decorations.
Oh no! Have we got Christmas decorations up already?
I'm no comment. Bar humbug. No comment.
Middle of November. That's when they go up.
Blimey. Okay.
Early January. That's when they go up.
Share with me the pictures of your premature Christmas decorations and your disdain at enjoying it, and remember that it's Christmas and everyone smiles.
Jay Cross, Christmas lover. Thanks for listening this week. Don't forget that we are doing a live podcast 5th of December. If you want details, best check out the Facebook group. You can come down, you can hang out with us, ask questions. I think we're just going to be kicking around afterwards as well. And also, if you can't make it down, I think we're going to be able to live stream it. So there'll be details about the live stream on the group as well. Thanks for listening this week, and we will see you next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers.
Okay guys, this is Wacky Jack here. It's been a video, and this time I'm going to be doing another Simpsons episode review, this time for the 14th episode of the second season, which was titled Brother, Where Art Thou? So you've probably heard of this episode, so I'll go on to story, then give it a little review, then give it a grade. So the story basically is Grandpa has a heart attack watching the McVeigh movie, and he sort of like confesses a sin he did, that he had another son. He had another son and put him in an adoption thing. So Homer's determined to find him, to find his long-lost brother, and they discovered that his name's Herb. They named him Herb Powell. So he meets his brother Herb, and then Herb's like this big guy, executive thing. He's like got be slimmer, smarter, and got more hair than Homer. So that's basically the story. There's more that happens, but I'll go into review now. This is actually a pretty good episode. I like it because it's like the first time we ever see Herb, because he's played by Danny DeVito, if you haven't heard of him. He's like the guy that's in Matilda and Batman Returns, if you haven't heard of that film. So yeah, he's a pretty well-known guy, if people might have not heard of him. He's pretty good as Herb. He's like, he does show that, sorry, I'm sure that World Cup, Walter, I should pull it down. He really does show like the kind of guy Herb is, you know. He's like a businessman and all that. And I really like how it like brings classic things into the series, like Homer's brother and the Homer, the car that Homer designs. And it's got a very good payoff, and it's kind of a bitter payoff, but it comes better in a season 3 episode, which I will review soon when I finish season 2 and go on to season 3. So it's got some funny moments. I like the start when Grandpa has a heart attack watching the McPain movie. I like how it tells the story of how how it all happened, how Herb was created in a way. So it's a pretty good episode. It's better than most episodes of season 2, I'd say. So I think it's very popular among Simpsons fans, so you should enjoy it. So on a grade, I'd give this a B+. Thanks for listening. Wacky Jack here with my review of episode 14 of the second season of The Simpsons, titled Brother, Where Art Thou? Question mark.